Genetic testing is popular and potentially has lots of benefits, but who owns the results? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. DNA and genetic testing are big business, but there are real questions about privacy and about what happens to your genetic information after you get tested. Recently, the DNA testing company 23andMe partnered with pharmaceutical giant GlaxoSmithKline to develop personalized drugs and research treatment for diseases like lupus and Parkinson's. Jen King is director of consumer privacy at the Center for Internet and Society at Stanford Law School. Her research finds that, surprisingly, most people who take DNA tests don't think the data is all that personal.
Most of them felt that their genetic data, while it was personal, at the same time, it didn't reveal who they really were. Versus one of the other things in my study I looked at was search queries. So when people type a search term into Google, for example, did they consider that more personal than their genetic data? In some cases, they did, because it really revealed something more about what made them tick, what they were concerned about, what they thought about, what they cared about. Whereas your genetic data doesn't tell you anything about that.
But then you get to, you know, the news that 23andMe is partnering with a pharmaceutical company to develop drugs based on the DNA data that they got from 23andMe. Do you think that changes the calculation for people?
I think it can, because one of the things I discovered is while people were motivated by the idea that their data could be doing good, that often wasn't very critical. You know, people hadn't spent time to really dig into what that meant. And So while there's probably an assumption that, well, you know, great, I'm going to help make a drug that could, you know, help a disease I know nothing about, and maybe I'll benefit because I have that disease, no one, at least of the people I talked to, really sat down and thought about, well, wait a second, you know, the company isn't obligated to give that drug away for free. They can charge as much as they want for it. So there was this sense of, yeah, I'm helping the public, but it wasn't very critical and really wasn't carefully thought through just exactly how that might happen. It was more of a check the box going, yay, I can do something good.
This is a little sci-fi, I know. As we are also exploring gene editing, is there an argument that we should start to consider patenting our gene profiles? You know, should we start having like an ownership conversation about our most basic identity?
That's a really interesting question. If you look at the customer agreements of these different online genetic testing companies, it's kind of a big open question as to who owns your data. And the agreements today, I think, are pretty clear that, at least with 23andMe, that, you know, once they do something with that data, in this case, you know, partner with a pharmaceutical company and develop a drug on its basis, you know, you sign an agreement saying you have no rights to it, or you have no property interest in the outcome of it. So you can't go to them later and say, hey, you need to compensate me for this blockbuster drug that you developed using my data.
That's Jen King of Stanford's Center for Internet and Society. Another fun tidbit, new research in the journal Science says you could be identified even if you haven't taken a genetic test, just by tracing the DNA of distant relatives back to you using social media and other online data. About 60% of Americans of European descent could be tracked down that way. And now for some related links. Even though the future of the International Space Station is currently sort of in doubt, after a Soyuz rocket malfunctioned last week and two astronauts barely survived, NASA is trying to figure out when it can send astronauts to the ISS again, and whether the ones who are already there will have to abandon the space station completely for a while because the Russian rockets are currently the only way to get humans to and from the ISS, and they are grounded because of the accident. Jeff Bezos's aerospace company, Blue Origin, put up a video today promising to send millions of people to space eventually.
Now is the time to open the promise of space to all and lay the way for generations to come. When our descendants look to the stars, perhaps from a rocky moon or colonies floating in open space, they'll remember this time.
And look, I'm not trying to be down on big ambitions, but we do seem to be doing a lot of fast-forwarding to the future, and I'm kind of wondering, what is the plan for the now? Tell you one other thing I'm intrigued by today, a new little phone called the Palm. Yes, nostalgia, they bought the rights to the old name. It's meant to be an accessory phone to your big everyday Android smartphone. So you have like a little add-on gadget that just does simple stuff like texting and calls and music and doesn't distract you with the whole smartphone situation. Plus, it fits in your pocket. Kind of like an Apple Watch, except a phone that goes with your other phone. And I know you want to laugh, but like The Verge said when they wrote about it, the idea kind of worms its way into your head. Mainly the idea that maybe what we all really want is just less computer, more phone. Less future, more now. See what I did there? I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.